Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 7th of June, recording at 9:38 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. In Asia, more markets were slightly to the upside, including China, Japan, and India. And in Europe, we had a quiet day, but with a majority of indices ending with modest gains, and these were modest. They were mostly under 0.25%. In the Americas, Brazil and Mexico scraped out modest gains. Wall Street had been on the plus side for most of the day. But the S&P closed down a tiny fraction, 0.1%. But it had been 7 to 8 points higher during the day. The futures had been 10 points higher at one stage. Now, so it coughed up the rally for a fifth consecutive day to the downside. Long-dated government bond prices, they were weaker in Europe. They were also weaker until the U.S., until just before the close, as Wall Street sold off. The U.S. Futures, then bond futures, rallied to tiny, tiny gains. Currencies, the dollar weak again, down to 73.54 on the US dollar index. Sterling up to 164.50. And the euro up to 146.90. Aussie dollar had weakened a little bit earlier in the day on news that the Reserve Bank of Australia not only left interest rates on hold, but removed the comment about its tightening bias. But the Aussie's basically unchanged here right now. Canadian dollar firmed a bit in here today. And in commodities, well, gold got up to 1550, got up to 1550, but is currently trading at 1543.5. Platinum up 13, palladium up 10, and silver up 39 cents as I speak. In industrial metals, copper, aluminium, and lead had modest gains. The others had modest losses. And crude oil, well, it had been a little bit lower, but then WTI firmed up to 99.66 as I speak. Brent, worse, that tacked on $2.25. It's up to about 116.30. Okay. So what's going on here overall? Well, it's really more of the same. We're still in this corrective phase for global stock markets. And in my view, this will prevent any runs to the upside. And the only markets that are really in a position to do that are some of the ASEAN sector, where the Indonesian market is once again the firmest overall, but it is still ranging. The more important point is that a lot of other stock markets are Indonesia's ranging at the higher side, very close to its highs, whereas most other markets are in various stages of mean reversion towards their rising 200-day moving averages, or worse, where those MAs have rolled over and are tipping downwards. So again, 5 days down on Wall Street in a row is certainly has shifted some short-term indicators a little closer to temporarily oversold territory. But as I mentioned yesterday in my first audio on return from holiday, that these mean reversions, which I maintain is what we're seeing on Wall Street, hopefully not a whole lot more. But they can often end with a bit of capitulation, and that's because markets are drifting down, as we've seen recently, and then some investors take fright, chop and chop positions. So you get a little bit of a spike to the downside that creates an oversold condition, leading to a recovery. Now, worst case scenario, I would say, is that we get something that statistically might qualify as a mini bear market for some indices. But that's very much the worst case scenario, and I think that a greater probability is that we just get something that's a little bit closer to the April to August 2010 correction, which was not pleasant if you were long, but if you were looking for another buying opportunity, it was excellent. And it improved valuations, of course, and the monetary accommodation was still very prevalent. Now, things are a little trickier here today. One, because stock markets are at higher levels. Two, because the global economy is slowing in response to the spike that we had seen in commodity prices, not least the moderate spike in crude oil. And we have had some rate tightening in the growth economies, and we have a parent wind down to QE2, although the US economy is sufficiently soft really to cause daily talk of QE3 at some point, and central bankers are not willing to rule it out. So that overall background isn't so hot. But again, we've had a little bit more growth since this time last year, and that includes corporate profits growth. And while those are being lowered somewhat here in the short term, we can't say that monetary conditions are tight. The pullback is improving valuations somewhat, and some are outright attractive on a historical comparative basis, including China A shares, incidentally. But the China A share index is sort of bogged down. It's fallen back to a prior support level, and where it shows some loss of downside momentum, but it doesn't appear close to completing that base yet. It's one of these sort of sleeper extensions that ranges sideways, and then when it pushes back up to the higher side, we think, ah, this really could be ready to go, but then it falls back. Okay, generally, though, I would say that during this corrective phase, which is in line with softer seasonal factors, if we get a replay approximation of the April to end of August 2010 reaction, we can expect a little bit of underperformance here over the next few months, but not a rout. Now, I don't think we'd get a rout without another spike in crude oil prices. That, as I've said before, is a greater risk than I would like it to be, but it's still an outside chance. It's a greater risk than I would like it to be because we have the Libyan production down, of course, so the supply-demand balance is really very tight. And OPEC have been talking today about raising output, but really all they're going to do, in my opinion, is to raise the quotas to be in line with what's already coming out. In other words, you always get some leakage in terms of additional production above the stated quotas. So they would just bring the quoted figure up a little bit in line with what's already happening. So I think that chance of another spike in crude oil prices, well, higher than I would like it to be, it's certainly less than 50-50. But we aren't seeing the kind of fallback that one would normally expect due to, not least to the lack of that Libyan Libyan production. And we really need crude oil prices somewhat lower. The rate of inflation in China and some other countries has slowed, and in a best case scenario, I mentioned a worst case scenario. In a best case scenario, markets mostly range in here, continue to range, and we get into the fourth quarter of the year. And if crude oil prices and some other commodities, preferably foods among them, staple foods such as corn, wheat, and soybeans, have come lower, rough rice, then those inflation pressures would moderate further. And we could get the traditional strong fourth quarter performance in an election cycle year for the US. Now, which will it be? Well, I'm going to be dead on candid with you here, and I hope I'm never anything less. But I've got more questions than answers today. And that partly reflects the conditions, the ranging market environment. So I'm hopeful that we get that strength in the fourth quarter. I think we probably will. I think the odds favor it, but I'm not hugely confident about it at this stage. And so how am I going to play it? Well, I'm going to hold on to the investments that I have. And I also, as I've mentioned on a number of occasions, I have this cash reserve that I have previously used for some currency switching. But when I could no longer, or when I ran out of currencies that I was willing to hold, I've been thinking increasingly now that I should put more of that money to work in equities, but I didn't want to pay up. But I will certainly come in and buy following a setback. So I'm looking around and thinking about that. And I would certainly include some high yielders, in that the shares would almost certainly be drawn from fuller money themes, resources, growth markets, possibly technology, although you get less yield with the technology. But it all depends on what looks good at the time, particularly good at the time I decide to do it. Meanwhile, it's just, I think, a very useful exercise just to keep monitoring what's going on here and thinking about possible buy candidates. If I was running an active fund, heaven forfend, then I would be certainly, it would have been appropriate to sort of 2-3 months ago to be overweight in defensive issues. And I showed one of those. I put up a chart of Drax yesterday, the UK coal power station. Good yield, had been wildly out of favor, now recovering. So I would be working on that basis. I would be looking for what equities that had defensive characteristics, decent yields, and were clearly showing a bit of relative strength here in this environment. But what I'd really prefer to do is to wait and see, and will do with my own money, is wait and see how much more of a pullback we get, or just sideways ranging consolidation. Either of those I would regard as positive for potential buyers of equities. And then hopefully make make a useful timing move in terms of increasing long positions. Now, that may sound, well, the process of waiting, 10 years from now, we'll look back to this period and say, well, it all paused in a twinkling of an eye. But while you're waiting through it, it can seem, well, people are saying, well, how do I make some money right now? And it's not easy to do that in this environment. And as I've said before, you and I can only deal with the realities that markets provide. And it's easier to lose money in this market environment today than it is to make money. And therefore, I want to keep my trading bets small and think more about damage limitation. And there'll be a time to be aggressive later on. What about precious metals? Last point on those, very firm action overall. They would be susceptible in the event of a sharper reaction. If we had some capitulation selling in equities, I think that would almost certainly pull precious metals down, because it would lead to a little bit of a temporary rush to cash. That would create another buying opportunity in precious metals. I don't think that risk is high enough for anyone who's holding bullion, gold bullion, to sell out of their positions at today's levels. What I think would be best for us overall, those of us who are interested in precious metals, and I know that most of you are, would be if we just had a quiet period in this seasonally quiet period and got into the end of August, early September, and when renewed relative strength in terms of that cyclical pattern that I've mentioned on so many occasions and illustrated on so many occasions kicks into action, and then to be a little bit more aggressive in the precious metal sector. Meanwhile, I'm going to try to stay out of trouble. And on that note, all the best to all of you.